I know I got to preach this evening.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
KAYT, Lake Charles, 100.1.
You're now tuned in to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville, Louisiana, with Dr. Carl Armstead. Mount Olive Baptist Church is located 808 Anacoco Street in Leesville, Louisiana. We are a church and congregation that honors God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. We celebrate His death, resurrection, by which all men are saved. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches the Word of God in a service already in progress.
And we are just grateful to them and to all of you, to our associates and the person of Reverend Smith, Minister of Music, and to all of our officers and members, especially those who are visiting with us. I got to say that God is good. And His mercy endures forever. It's just getting commonplace now. Every time you look at the news, there's a terrorist attack happening all over.
Absolutely.
And I tell you, we need to make sure that we pray. Amen. And pray for those families who have lost loved ones. Amen. We are living in a wicked time right now, and we're closer to the end than we were a long time ago. We just don't know when it's going to happen. And that's why it behooves all of us to be ready. Now, how can you be ready? The only way you can be ready is that you have to be saved. If you're not saved, you're not going to be ready. And if you keep putting it off, it might catch you off base. Amen. Because it might come. Amen. And then one thing about it, if death catches you and you're not saved, it's going to be too late. There is no salvation after death. The Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die. And after comes not salvation, but judgment. Amen. We want to pray for all of our members who are on the highways and who are traveling and the like, that the Lord will give them traveling grace. I got family coming in today myself. I pray that they, my daughters, have traveling grace.
Amen.
Now, this morning, I want to call our attention to Mark's Gospel, chapter number 5, the fifth chapter of the Gospel according to Mark. We want to read a few verses beginning at verse number 21. And everybody got it? Say amen. Give it a little more volume. Anybody still need time? Say hold on. Well, we must be together. And it reads, "Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, 'My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live.' So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him." I'm going to drop down to verse number 35. "While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, who said, 'Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?'
And as soon as Jesus heard the words that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." And that's what I want to talk about. That's my subject. Do not be afraid, only believe. Now you can read the rest of this chapter. I can't read the whole chapter, verse 21 through 43. Because my brothers and sisters, fear is really a faith killer. Because when we live in fear, thank you, Aisha, we will not be able to walk by faith. In our Bible study Wednesday night, we've been dealing with anxiety, taking anxiety and worry. And we found out that the root of anxiety is fear. Amen. And when we are living or walking in fear, fear will actually cancel out your faith. Amen. Because then you're walking by sight and not by faith. And so in our media text, when this father got the news that his little sick daughter of 12 years old was dead, Jesus told the man, "Don't be afraid, only believe." And so let me begin by saying, as we follow Jesus in this fifth chapter of Mark, we see Jesus move from one hopeless situation to another. We're able to witness the Lord Jesus demonstrate his power over a stormy sea, a demon-possessed man, and a very sick woman. And in each case, he has proven that he is more than adequate for any situation. We note that Jesus spoke and a raging storm and tossing sea suddenly became calm. At his command, a man held captive by the devil and many demons was set free. Then on his way to Jairus' daughter's house, his power instantly healed a woman caught in the grip of a terminal illness for some 12 years when she touched the hem of his garment. My brothers and sisters, all three episodes prove that Jesus is the master of every hopeless situation. And that's why the Bible says in Matthew's 19:26, "With God, all things are possible." And so today, we see another hopeless situation. Because this time, Jesus faces the greatest enemy known to man. And my brothers and sisters, here we see Jesus faces death in these verses, and yet he still walks away as a victor. And so as we watch our Lord conquer one hopeless situation after another, my prayer this morning is that it will give each of us hope when we are faced with those desperate situations that come in our lives. And so with your prayers, I want to take the Lord's words in verse 36 that says, "Be not afraid, only believe." And as I do, I'd like for us to see a father's faith in action and see how his faith is matured by the struggles he endured. And my brothers and sisters, I believe what we will learn here can help us to overcome our fears by faith during the many hard times that we might face in life. Now notice, if you will, that the phases that the father's faith passes through this story develops. Well, first of all, we see the conception of his faith. Note the text reveals that Jesus has now returned to Capernaum and is immediately met by a crowd of people. Yes, Lord. Now, some have gathered to hear his words, and some have come in hopes of experiencing a miracle. But all of those that were gathered, they had come to see Jesus. And the text says that a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, rushes into the crowd surrounding Jesus. It is his story that serves as the focus of our text. For he's a man whose little faith is about to grow very large. Now it is in verse 22 and 23a that we see the directions of this man's faith. This man is a ruler of the synagogue. Now that means that he was one of the officials who oversaw the business of the synagogue. Now he was not a priest, but he would have had a part in the services of the synagogue. In other words, he was responsible for making sure that everything was in order at the synagogue. He would have been an important man in the community, meaning he would have been a wealthy man with a fine home as well as servants. And not only that, but he was also a religious man who faithfully practiced the Jewish faith. But at this moment in his life, Brother Jones, none of these things that usually seem important to Jairus mattered in the least. Yeah, yeah. Because sickness and death had visited the home of Jairus, and none of the things that mattered in his life could drive them away. You see, because his power, his money, his position in the community, and even his religion were all powerless in the face of his daughter's sickness and death. And my brothers and sisters, Jairus needed help that none of his resources could provide. And so the brokenhearted father heard about Jesus, and the text says in verse 22 that when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. Now, I can imagine this must have been hard for Jairus because, after all, he was a ruler in the synagogue, and all of his colleagues in the ministry disapproved of Jesus and of his methods, especially since most of the synagogue had been closed to Jesus and his ministry. And yet this father is desperate, and he turns to the man Jesus for the help that he needs. In other words, the fear of death and the love for his daughter and a sense of utter helplessness drove him to this man called Jesus. Well, now, Jairus doesn't understand everything there is to know about Jesus, but he has come to believe that this man can heal. And might I remind us that tragedy doesn't care about who you are. Meaning the trials of life are not going to pass you up just because you're a good person. Just ask old man Job, who the Bible say was a blameless, upright man, one who feared God, and he shunned evil. But yet tragedy struck his life. But that's why Jesus tells us today in John 16 and 23, he say, in the world, you will have tribulations. But now the good news is for every born again Christian is that Jesus goes on to say, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And so if you belong to Jesus and you are in him and he's in you in the person of the Holy Spirit, that makes you an overcomer also. But still be aware that tragedy doesn't care about the fact that you go to church and you give your tithes, you love your brothers and sisters, and you're a good neighbor. Let me tell you, sickness and death could care less about our achievements and our assets. And therefore, when the trials of life comes, we need a resource outside of ourselves. When death and sickness and sorrow, marital problems, financial trouble, and the lack comes, we need more than religion. We need more than the stuff of this world. We need a faith that rests in Jesus' power alone. And so the question is, who do you really trust today? And so as we look at the direction of Jairus' faith, the direction of his faith was pointed to Jesus. But now in verse 23b through 24, it reveals the depth of his faith. Perhaps Jairus had heard the stories about the amazing power of the Lord's touch. But regardless of whether he heard about it or saw it with his own eyes, Jairus believed that Jesus could heal his sick daughter. He believed the Lord's touch will bring healing to his child. Thus, this powerful man humbles himself at the feet of Jesus, and he cries out for the help that he needs. Yes, yes. And my brothers and sisters, this is the kind of faith the Lord is looking for in your life and my life. He wants us to come to the end of our own abilities. He wants us to come to the place where we know that we can't, but where we know and believe that he can. And like Jairus, there will be many times when our faith will be small as well as weak. But even so, like Jairus, our faith must be in the Lord and his ability. Why? Because faith in Jesus is the faith that will always be honored by God. Because according to Mark 9:23, Jesus said to another father whose son had a deaf and dumb spirit in him, and the disciples couldn't cast him out. Jesus told that man, said, if you can believe, he said, all things are possible to him who believes. And then Jesus commanded that deaf and dumb spirit to come out of the boy, and that spirit came out. And Jesus told them that deaf and dumb spirit don't even return back again. And moreover, Jesus says in John 14:13, he tells every Christian, whatever you ask in my name, he said, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. My brothers and sisters, faith in Jesus may start out very small, but it will not stay that way for long, because God has a way of growing our faith as we walk with him through the days of our lives. But right now, after the conception of his faith, we witness in verse 24 through 35 the confusion of his faith. But now someone once said that a faith that can't be tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. And so here we see that this fledgling faith of Jairus is put to the test. Here we see a hopeless situation grew worse with each passing moment, and a faith that was weak was brought to the breaking point. But we see here Jairus being confused by a hindering situation, because as Jesus leaves to go with Jairus to heal his daughter, as he is thrown by the crowds, all of a sudden a very sick woman with an issue of blood for 12 long years, she break through and she touches the hem of his garment and she's healed. But then Jesus stops to confront and comfort this woman. And as he does, precious minutes pass by. Now I can imagine that Jairus is confused and upset by this delay, because after all, his daughter is in the process of dying, and she doesn't have much time, and yet Jesus seemed to be wasting his time on this woman. Now, it's very possible that Jairus knew this woman, and he knew about her condition. And so, if so, he knows that she had been sick for 12 long years. And perhaps he may have been thinking, just waiting another hour won't kill her, because she's been this way all of these years. And I believe she will still live. But now his little daughter of 12 years old is at the point of death. But now we don't really know what was really on Jairus' mind during this interruption. But I believe he was probably waiting impatiently. No doubt his stomach was probably balled up in knots. And I believe if any of you ever had a very sick child, then you know the anxiety that must have gripped his heart. Now, on the surface, the Lord's delay seemed a little insensitive, but he knows the seriousness of the situation. salvation. He knows the broken heart of the father. He knows the urgency of the need. But Jesus pauses and take care of the need at hand. But now this may seem to be harsh on the surface and has some important lessons that we can learn this morning. And that is God doesn't run on our schedule. Because God is not bound by the constraints of time and space. And it may surprise you, but God doesn't possess a clock or a calendar. And so the delays of life are designed really to increase our faith. A typical example is seen in Joseph, and he'll tell you that he was thrown in a pit. He was sold into slavery, and then he was put in prison for a crime he didn't commit. But throughout all of those delays, God still brought him through, and he became the prime minister of Egypt and the man of God. Point is, when God doesn't move quickly as you think he ought to move, you ought to just trust in him anyhow. But not only was he confused by the hindering situation, but verse 36 reveals that he was confused by a hopeless situation. Because as Jesus is finally finishing up with this woman, all of a sudden some people come from the home of Jairus. They come with some devastating news. We know verse 35 reveals that the news was blunt and final. Note it says, while Jesus is still speaking, it says some came from the ruler of the synagogue house and said, your daughter is dead. So there's no need to keep troubling the master any longer. In other words, you might as well leave the master alone because it's too late now. He can't help her now. Because she is dead. Oh, my brothers and sisters, surely this news attacked Jairus' faith and brought him to the edge of despair. And no doubt he thought about the delay, and I wonder if perhaps he may have gotten a little bitter at the Lord. I don't know if you've ever been there before, but have you ever faced some similar situation where the facts stare you in the face and everyone cries out, no hope, no hope, no hope. For instance, that must have been how Mary and Martha felt when they sent for Jesus when their brother Lazarus was sick. But Jesus delayed his coming. And when he finally made his arrival, Lazarus was dead. And John tells us in John 11 and 21 that Martha, when she saw Jesus, she said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother Lazarus would not have died. And then Martha also said, when Jesus was down by the tomb and asked the people to remove the stone from the mouth of the tomb, she said in so many words, Lord, it won't do no good because it's too late now. He'd been dead for 4 days. And by now, his body has begun to decompose. And there is a stench, meaning she felt that all hope was gone. But what they didn't know, and what seems like delays from the Lord, he was merely setting the stage for a greater miracle. That may also have been how the disciples felt when they were out there on that stormy sea. Perhaps they thought there was no hope. They thought the Savior was not moving on time. And again, they saw, yes, Lord, a delay, as a delay which was really merely setting the stage for a greater miracle. Now, because you do know that Jesus spoke to the wind and the wave and told it to hush up and be quiet. Because we can't see what God is doing behind the scenes. And so sometimes it appears that he's taking his time when he don't move as swiftly as we want him to. But we need to remember this truth, and that is God is seldom early, but he's never late. And as the songwriter says, he may not come when you want him to come, but he's always right on time, meaning God has a plan for your situation. And so even when you can't see what the Lord is doing, you need to learn to trust him anyway, and your faith will sustain you. Because even when you can't see what he's doing, I need to tell you that God is working to accomplish his plan and his purpose in your life and my life. And so Jesus said to Jairus, he said, don't be afraid, only believe. Well, finally, we see in verse 36 to 43, the confirmation of his faith. Now, the faith of Jairus was weak, and his faith wavered. But in the end, the faith of Jairus won out. His faith triumphed because his faith was rooted in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. For we note that in verse 36 to 39, his faith was confirmed by the Savior's word. Because when Jesus overheard the words of these who had brought the bad news of his daughter's death, Jesus, knowing the fear that rests within the heart of Jairus, Jesus said to him, be not afraid, only believe. In other words, in essence, Jesus is saying, now Jairus, don't believe what you hear. Don't believe what you know. Don't even believe what you see. And most of all, don't believe what you think. Just trust in me. In other words, Jesus is saying to Jairus, you believed me when you first came to me just a little while ago, so keep on believing. Don't allow fear to cancel out your faith. Be not afraid, only believe. And so Jesus and Jairus continued on to Jairus's house. And when they arrived, they found the mourners were already there. The mourners were wailing and crying, and sad tunes were being played on the flutes. Now, Jewish law required that even the poorest of people have at least one mourner and two flutes. And so since Jairus was a wealthy, well-known man, you can imagine that the number of hired mourners would have been many. And so Jesus sees these mourners just carrying on and wailing. In other words, Jesus is watching this show because he knows that there is no genuine grief. Me and these mourners could have cared less about the pain of the family because they were just there doing what they were hired to do. And so the only people who are really hurting are Jairus and his wife. And so as Jesus approached the scene, he makes a strange statement. He tells the mourners to stop their wailing because the little girl is not dead, but she's only sleeping. And the mourners begin to ridicule and laugh at the Lord. But there is much truth in his words. Now there are many who look at death as the end of all things because they see it as a time of absolute hopelessness. But Jesus seemed to have a different opinion. He calls it sleep. But now, don't misunderstand this, because he's not talking about the so-called soul sleep. Like many in our world believe that the soul and the body together go into the grave to await the resurrection. Because But death claims the believer. I need to tell you that only the body lies down, but the soul flies away to be.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio.